Good morning. It's the 16th of January. Our first reading for the day is Genesis 28 and 29. I'm reading to you from Brother Harry Whittaker once again, Wrestling Jacob. Jacob is at Bethel. He has dreamed that well-known dream. To the promise of the blessing, there was added a marvellous assurance of personal guidance and protection, as we read in verse 15 of chapter 28. I now read. From this day forward, Jacob could, if he so chose, live a life free from all worry and vexation. His every hardship was known to a heavenly guardian. His needs, big and small, were met by God's ministering spirit. In every moment of danger, the angel of Jehovah encamped round his tent. All reason for fear or anxiety was gone, if only he had the faith to accept, at its face value, the divine assurance now made known to him. Jacob's spiritual heirs, in a present century, can know the same happy, carefree life, if only they, in their turn, will believe in the promises of God, which are designed to make his service a joyous freedom from a sin of worry. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But, alas, the pilgrim of today is only another Jacob in modern dress, just as prone as he to assume that God needs his scheming and labour in order to bring the pilgrimage to a successful end. Yet the words of God remain, an undying guarantee that God can make a success of the inglorious efforts of the weakest of his creatures. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, rarely have such immortal words found such adequate paraphrase as the story of Bethel in this familiar hymn. They are words to be appropriated with gladness and to be sung with feeling by those who make the Jacob journey. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. The Bible use of until does not normally imply only so far and then no further. But it is certainly remarkable that the last recorded appearance of the angel of the Lord to Jacob was when he came to Bethel once again some 20 years later in chapter 35. However, by that time, Jacob had at last learned that the angel of God's providence was always there, whether seen or unseen. Awed and fearful, Jacob rose from his sleep. Not only had Jehovah appeared to Abraham at this sanctified spot, but the Lord is even now in this place, and I knew it not. It was the first clear demonstration to a man loath to believe it, that in every hardship and danger, the God of his fathers was with him, as he had just promised. Thou art a God that hidest thyself, wrote Isaiah many years later. But the Septuagint translators, perhaps with their minds on Jacob at Bethel, and certainly with marvellous aptness for that occasion, turned the words to read, Thou art God, and we knew it not, the Saviour God of Israel. And so it is with many of the Lord's people. They, perhaps I should read we, live with comparatively little contact with the unseen reality. But nothing makes a man fit for the sight of the divine in the way that tribulation does. Think of Jacob fleeing from Esau, Moses, Ezekiel, Daniel, Stephen, and many others. In the most difficult moments of their lives, they drew nearer to the divine presence. And maybe there's a lesson there for all of us. Thank you for listening.